Turn, if you would, to the 10th of Isaiah. We may be in a new chapter, but not in a new theme. And the theme is God's judging the nation. And there's been something of a refrain throughout chapter 9. It occurs several times. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is outstretched still. And we're going to hear another one of those today. Isaiah chapter 10. Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed, to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. What will you do in the day of punishment and in the desolation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Without me, they shall bow down among the prisoners. They shall fall among the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. This time, the Lord speaking through Isaiah is condemning those in authority who use their position and their privilege and their power to benefit themselves at the expense of the poor. The first verse, though, talks about laws which they make which are unrighteous. Now, I've been thinking about government quite a lot recently. We nearly had a new government this week, and when I arrived in Australia, they did have a new government, so it has been playing on my mind. Human government, flawed and imperfect though it is a gift from God. Because we were fallen in Adam and Eve, God instituted a means by which our fallen natures would be at least limited. So although I continue to be envious and jealous and become too angry, I don't tend to go around murdering people because I know there is a very imperfect reflection of God's government in this land which will hold me to account. And that is good news for you because it means it keeps you alive. However, there are other decrees in our land which I think we might agree are most unrighteous and are wicked. And I dare say there are more in the pipeline, more are going to come out. He talks about those who write misfortune. Before a bill becomes an act, it is revised and every single word is scrutinised and thought through and debated in committee before it actually becomes a law. And here are people who are writing misfortune. Now, the context here is not just any old wicked law, though there are plenty of those, but laws which are designed to make the poorest people suffer. And they're planning in these laws a way of taking advantage of other people, to rob the needy, to take what is right from the poor. So here are the rich and the privileged, taking advantage via the law, of those who are unable to be defended or speak up for themselves. And these people are poor. They don't have a lot of money. They can't obtain political office. They don't own land. They don't have people working for them. And yet look who calls them his own, the Lord himself. And to take what is right from the poor of my people. In the Bible, God seems to have a special relationship with the poorest people. Typically, that means poorest in terms of money and power, but also I think that those who are poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. In the Beatitudes, Jesus makes it clear. You know, the proud and the haughty, who are often the rich and the powerful, get short shrift from the God of heaven. But the needy and the poor and the destitute, those who cry out to him, those who know they have no means of themselves to influence things, and they have a special place, I think, in the heart of God. But they're being robbed of justice. What is their right is denied them. Widows are prey. Now, prey, of course, is meat about to be eaten by a powerful animal or a powerful bird. But here, a widow is considered prey. Fair game to those in power, to those who are in authority. Furthermore, that the fatherless, the orphan, they have not parents to speak up for them. What's actually happening to these people, we don't know. Whether they're being enslaved or whether their property is being taken off them, whether people are refusing to help them, we do not know, I'm afraid. But evidently, the poorest and the most marginalised people are being oppressed at the time of Isaiah. Again, I've said it before, I say it again. I always think of, you know, Isaiah and his time in history as being a real golden age. Well, it wasn't if you were an orphan or a widow or the poorest people. In fact, I suspect in any age, except the age to come, those people will always be the first to suffer. But Isaiah and God through Isaiah then asks a number of rhetorical questions in verse 3. What will you do in the day of punishment? The poor are being punished now. But the rich and the powerful, their punishment is coming. And of course he may be referring to that huge Assyrian army which is about to descend, or indeed on the day of judgment, which is even more terrible and a band of growling Assyrians. What will you do in that day? The answer, of course, is nothing but accept the punishment which is their due. And in the desolation which will come from afar. Isaiah isn't wanting them to, you know, give an answer on a postcard, but rather he wants them to think. You are rich and powerful, but the day is coming when even richer and more powerful people will treat you as you have treated the very poorest people. When the Assyrian comes and conquers your town, will he hold you in high regard, or will he treat you even worse than you have treated the people under your charge? For whom will you flee for help? The widow and the orphan have had no one to go to, and neither will these rich judges, magistrates and politicians. And where will you leave your glory? In their day, these are glorious people. They dress well. They are respected. They are admired at the city gate. But their glory is held but for a time. It will not last. Like all the glories and the respect of this world, it is transient and it is passing away. Without me, they shall bow down among the prisoners. These proud, upright people, they will bow down. They will be among all the prisoners the Assyrian will take. There'll be no distinction. In one respect, the Assyrian will be fairer than they were. They are not respecter of persons, whereas these Hebrew or Jewish judges have been. They shall fall among the slain. Rich people die. How much would they pay for a few more years? How much would they give for another lifespan? Well, they might be billionaires with money coming out of their ears, but they could not buy it. Their days are numbered. They're going to die. And yet look at that expression in verse 4, without me. That's the heart of the matter. Here is the crux of the issue. The reason they feel they can abuse the poor is because they have been living without the Lord, who is the defender of the poor. If you truly love the Lord, you will love other people, especially those of the household of faith. You cannot love God and hate your brother. These people are hating their brothers because they do not love their God. Without him, therefore, they shall be among the prisoners and they shall die. For all this, his anger is not turned away but his hand is outstretched still. The hand of judgment. In the book of Revelation, we have the picture of judgment being poured out upon the earth, which is maybe the picture here, the outstretched hand pouring out judgment. Or is it the outstretched hand brandishing the sword? We don't know. But God continues to judge the nation. Well, week after week, and you can judge whether I manage it or not, I try and bring out something positive. There is much wonderful stuff in Isaiah. Isaiah perhaps sees the Lord Jesus more clearly than any other prophet. But what can we get from this? Well, if without the Lord, sinful people will bow down among the prisoners and shall fall among the slain, what about those who have him? Now, we are here tonight, not because I think you enjoy singing or listening to me, but because you love the Lord. Because you have the Lord. Because you are with the Lord. Because to you who believe, he is precious. You have him. Therefore, if you are with him, you will not bow down among the prisoners. You shall not fall among the slain. Oh, don't get me wrong. I imagine that a number of you I will bury in that graveyard. You may even have walked over the spot. Or, and you know, the Lord will do what the Lord will do. It might be that I'm the next to go in there and you'll be at my funeral. I don't know. In one respect, we will die among the slain. And we are prisoners of our body as much as the next man. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Judgment is coming for those without him. But for those of us who have him, when he comes on that great day of judgment, it will be a day not of terror, but a day of joy. Amen.
Amen. Amen.